Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Someone's going to have to explain this to me like I'm 5 years old. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So you're telling me that Patrick Mahomes has a mild high ankle sprain, okay? You are not playing the Super Bowl this week. You are not playing the AFC Championship this week. In fact, you are about to start, you're in the midst, rather, of a stretch where you're playing three games in 11 days, where you have like a 2 or 1.5 game lead, if you will, in the entire conference. And you're going to push for Mahomes to play this Saturday against the Houston Texans? Why? Someone explain this to me in a way that makes any kind of sense.
We know what you're doing, Maggie. What? We all know this. You know, the Chiefs have one loss and the Bills have three losses, and all of a sudden you want Mahomes to sit down. Okay, you're getting it out there on the airwaves. This is not a Buffalo Bills propaganda show. This is what this is, a objective sports show. And you're just saying that because you want the Chiefs to not play Mahomes so you could get back to the number one seed.
This is how much I put my personal biases aside for this show. They have a better shot to win the Super Bowl if he doesn't play this weekend. You got to go forest through the trees. I'm putting myself in a Chiefs fan's, costume for a moment, because what is this game against Houston, where you still have two more games where you're going to be able to win the division, the conference? You have the lead, okay? You've got it. You don't have the tiebreaker, but you've got the lead. And is this really about getting, you know, your playoff seeding, or is this about having Patrick Mahomes as healthy as possible? If I really wanted this to just be a Buffalo Bills, segment, or from their point of view, I'd say, yeah, roll him out there. Please have Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter come after his ass. That's what I would say if this was really a Bills part, a Bills aspect of it. But no, this is the Chiefs aspect of it. First of all, you're not even sure you're sacrificing this game. You love Carson Wentz. You think he can win games in this league still.
I don't know if I'd say I love Carson Wentz, but Carson Wentz could definitely win in Kansas City.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So could a lot of backups.
Okay, so here you go. Yeah. So, like, to me, it's just the smarter move to preserve Mahomes. And the goal here is three-peat, nothing less. So, like, why wouldn't you do the smart thing? Again, forest through the trees. Don't worry about this game. Worry about the long-term goal. And if Mahomes is, you know, has an issue with it, well, too bad. At some point, someone has to be the adult here and say, listen, I know you want to play, but we need you late January. That and first 2 weeks of February or whatever the Super Bowl is, the 9th. I don't even remember. Anyway, this is what Chiefs fans should be thinking.
But
sit him this week.
That everything you say makes perfect sense, but you know, you've watched Patrick Mahomes play hurt for the better part of the last 5 years. I mean, how many times has he limped around and all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, limp, 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 zoop, right down the sideline for a 35-yard gain in the fourth quarter of a big game. He's got this sort of, it reminds me of an NBA player. Like, you know how great NBA players sometimes limping around, then all of a sudden they become awesome? He always does this. He would have come in against Cleveland after the high ankle sprain. He's added taped up. I think it was like in bright yellow tape. I noticed it. He does not care. He just totally does not take injuries like that seriously. And we saw it. Somehow he can rebound, and it doesn't seem to matter. He's like Superman in that sense. High ankle sprain specifically. We've seen him win a Super Bowl with a high ankle sprain.
I know, and it's admirable how he plays hurt and how well he plays hurt and all of that. But think about what you're saying. He had to play on a high ankle sprain in the AFC Championship game against the Bengals and then in the Super Bowl. This is not the Super Bowl. This is a Saturday afternoon game against the Texans when you still have a lead in the conference by two games. This is what you did all that winning for earlier in the season. You're 13-1. And by the way, I'm not even sure if you're necessarily sacrificing this game. So it's not like you have no shot to win if Mahomes doesn't play. So let's not assume that this is going to be an L. I just think it's different when it's a lose and go home moment. Nothing ostensibly changes at all if the Chiefs drop this game. They're still up on the Bills. They're still in the driver's seat.
Well, let me ask you this. So they have three games in 11 days. Why not play Mahomes against the Texans on Saturday, then switch to Wentz on Wednesday against the Steelers? Maybe do the Mahomes game first, then the backup, and then you get back to Mahomes for the Week 18 game against the Broncos. Might make more sense.
I don't love doing that because I don't know if a high ankle sprain is the type of thing where it could get worse. Like,
Yeah, it definitely will.
Right. Would it be better to let him sit for a week?
Maybe you could say, all right, play this week, go all out, because if you get that win over the Texans, then you have a lot more breathing room for the last 2 weeks, and then you can consider the backup.
So Mahomes was like a full participant in practice yesterday. And I forgot, EJ, what's his designation right now on the injury report? Did you have that? EJ? What was the designation for Mahomes on the injury report?
He was a full participant in practice.
Full participant, but then did they even put questionable? I don't even know if they did.
They got to that point yet. We're early in the week.
Also, they know how to treat the specific injury with him. Like, their training staff is obviously outstanding. I see this.
They do it for the Super Bowl, for the AFC Championship game. Like, why would you go to the ends of the earth for this particular game? I don't get it.
Well, what's your other option? That you play Carson Wentz in this game against the Texans on Saturday, and then you go to Mahomes on Wednesday against the Steelers? Honestly,
see how he feels.
Texans have some good defensive ends and pass rushers. I would rather throw Carson Wentz to the Steelers. I mean, it depends. TJ Watt will probably be healthy by that game. I'm like, you know what? The Texans scare me a little bit, but that game's in KC. I don't need Mahomes on the field at Pittsburgh. If you had the choice, I mean, come on, Maggie. If you had the choice between playing him against the Texans Saturday in Kansas City or playing him 4 days later in Pittsburgh, which would you do?
I don't even know if it's a choice, though, because if he plays against Houston, why wouldn't he just say, I'm going to play against Pittsburgh? And then what happens, right? And yeah, if you have the number one seed, you get 1 week of a bye, but you could still have the number one seed and you could have this week to rest, and then you could also have your bye.
So they would go to 14-1 if they beat the Texans. I assume your Bills probably, they have the Jets and the Patriots on their schedule. They're probably going to win out. So you could afford a loss to the Chiefs. And then Mahomes gets he gets from December 25th to January 5th off. So he'll be rested then and then try to get the bye. I think this is sort of, this they're viewing as the must-win game.
Let's hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. First on Reid, what he had to say about the QB.
Yeah, listen, if he can go, he'll go. If he can't, then he can't. I mean, you know, that's even that simple. We're not, that's how we'll roll with it. So, and then I'll just take it day by day and see how he does here.
Not typical Andy Reid there.
Wow, leadership.
Andy Reid has been saying nothing for 25 years in press conferences.
How about Patrick Mahomes said he won't put his team in a bad position if he can't be 100%.
I'm not going to put our team in a bad position. So if I feel like I can play and go out there and win a football game, I'll play. And if I don't feel like that's the best case scenario, I'll let guys like Carson play. I mean, he's a guy that's won in this league as well. So it's just about pushing it this week, seeing where I'm at and making the best decision then.
See, I just don't believe that Mahomes would ever, like, unless the ankle was hanging off of his, like, lower leg, I think he always believes he gives his team the best shot to win.
Of course. Yeah. And he does. He's probably the greatest quarterback of all time. So unless prime Tom Brady's standing there, of course he gives them the best chance to win. The funny thing about the Chiefs is they're not winning with offense at all. 0%. Like, their offense stinks. So basically they're going to want to hand the ball off whoever's a quarterback. You go Pacheco's back, Kareem Hunt, maybe some short passes. But Mahomes would be smart to throw the ball quicker because he's been holding on the ball forever. So just get rid of it, Patrick.
Yeah, I you're asking me, like, who would he rather play against, the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Houston Texans, all things being equal? I mean, I think, listen, the Steelers have trouble getting to 20 points at times. Like, I know the Chiefs offense.
Texans are just as bad.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, maybe you're not asking for these outrageous offensive games to try to beat these teams. And meanwhile, it doesn't seem like the Chiefs are capable of that this year anyway. Yeah, EJ.
I wonder if this NFL Christmas thing is a huge deal.
Wednesday game?
Yeah, I kind of wonder if the NFL says, hey, bro, like, if you can't go, we need you for Christmas. Sit. Like, and that was a little tinfoil hat, but, like, this, they're making, I mean, Beyonce's performing in one of these games. Like, this is a huge deal. Like, the Netflix, first NFL Christmas on Netflix, I think there's no way he misses that game. So I think there may be an increased chance that he does sit because of that high-profile game next Wednesday.
You think the league would get involved, Pearl?
No way. Full participant in practice, he's playing. Does anyone think he's not playing?
I don't believe he's a full participant. Unless practice was a joke, there's no way that on that high ankle sprain that he went out there and was doing all their running, all their drill. Like, no way.
It feels negligent.
He's so good with a high. He knows this injury, really. He knows his body. They know how to rehab it perfectly. As somebody who is obsessed with ankle health, I think he can do this. And it doesn't seem like a real serious injury.
But to me, we watched him do it. But again, we're talking about Patrick Mahomes, who may be playing this weekend on a high ankle sprain. He did it when you had to do it. You had to come back in the game for the AFC Championship game. Of course you're going to play the Super Bowl. This is not that. The stakes are not nearly as high. So I don't know why it's being treated like, man, we've seen Mahomes do it before against the Eagles. It was the last game of the season. He had to do it. He had a whole offseason. They have, the playoffs haven't even started yet. We still have three games to go.
But as far as regular season, these are super high stakes games. You don't get any more high stakes than what's going on right now. I mean, they're trying to get the number one seed.
But they don't need it to win also. I know you guys are going to accuse me of being a Bills, I want the Bills to take over the number one seed. Listen, if I really was looking at this through Bills lenses, I would want Mahomes out there every game so he gets as banged up as humanly possible, so that maybe he's a little weakened for a potential rematch against my team. I'm saying this as a Chiefs fan, I'd be pulling my hair out because I would just watch my team go on the road and take on everybody. That was not an easy path. It went to Buffalo. That's not an easy place to play. They went to Baltimore. That's not an easy place to play. And they did it and it was fine. And by the way, I'm not even convinced that they would relinquish the number one seed. I think Carson Wentz could win you one of two of these games.
Oh, definitely. All that, your logic makes perfect sense, but just, you know, Mahomes, you know, he's going to go out there. I'd just be shocked if he said, I'm going to sit this one out. And I like, EJ, your theory makes sense about Netflix asking him to do it, but I don't think he cares. I just think he feels like he's Superman. He really does.
They all do. 855-212-4227. Would this be a beyond negligent for the Chiefs to actually roll Mahomes out on Saturday? Again, they played Sunday. They beat the Browns easily. They play Saturday, and then they play Wednesday against the Steelers.
One thing I'm curious about with Mahomes and playing through this ankle injury is when he did that Super Bowl run, when they beat the Bengals and beat the Eagles, the Chiefs offense was operating at a much higher level than it is now. Like, can he play that well with this crappy Chiefs offense compared to what he had 2 years ago? I don't know.
Yeah, but the defense is firing, and the special teams is awesome right now. And the truth is, a healthy Mahomes, did you see him dropping back and throwing the ball downfield? He doesn't have any receivers. I mean, I don't know why he doesn't throw DeAndre Hopkins anytime, but it doesn't. You're right. Like, I think it's the lack of targets. Like,
did you guys see who got activated off of whose window's open now off of IR?
Hollywood Brown.
Thank you, EJ.
Like I said, he doesn't have any receivers.
Come
he has
on.
Xavier Worthy, who is really fast if you get him on by, but you can knock that guy off his route with a feather. And Travis Kelce has been terrible. So, I mean, that might sound harsh, but is there any player in the NFL who's had more targets and less catches this year than Travis Kelce?
855-212-4227. All right, we're talking about Patrick Mahomes, the high ankle sprain. Should they play him this weekend? Should they sit him this weekend? Saturday game against the Houston Texans. We also have tons of college football for you. College football playoff gets going on Friday. Perloff and I are picking our upsets today. Be a part of it. 855-212-4227.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. A lot going on today. Trying to help Maggie get out of a Christmas party so she can focus on the college football playoff, which begins Saturday at noon. Can't wait. This is going to be so fun. I don't know how we ever lived with just four teams in the playoff.
But, in the Stone Age.
Yeah. And it all starts off with SMU, Penn State. It's going to be a great day. I think some of the games are going to be close. Now, I think there was a concern when you had this college football playoff that there'd be blowouts, right? Like you'd have like an awesome Georgia team beat TCU 65-7. But because of NIL, there are no more awesome Georgia teams. That team doesn't exist anymore. All the spreads are kind of sizable, but I think we can find some upsets here, Maggie.
I think we can, too. And I've got one that I'm zeroing in on, and it's the Clemson Tigers going to Texas. Now, this is not personal. Love watching Texas. You guys know I'm a massive Arch fan, aren't we all? And love watching Arch Manning.
The nine plays that Archie played?
Yeah, exactly.
You're a massive Arch fan. Okay.
Remember when I said I thought Arch should have transferred to USC before the season? Turns out, good job by him not following my advice on that one. Listen, yeah. Win some, lose some. But here's the reason why I'm circling in on Clemson here. Number one, coach with big game experience, won big games, has beaten good coaches, right? That's something I really can't say about James Franklin. You know, if I want to pick Penn State, who has a nice little path here potentially, I just don't know if I trust Franklin in a big game. I have seen Dabo Sweeney win big games. And so for me, where I would go here is I know Clemson is a 10.5-point underdog, and no double-digit underdog in the college football playoff history, Perloff, has ever won outright.
Wow. However, yeah, but this is just the
this
first.
Is much bigger.
Well, it's a first 12-team playoff. You can't cite that stat, but go ahead.
So I throw all those out the window, is what I'm saying. So yeah. I'm looking at Clemson here, and then if Clemson were to pull off the upset against Texas, by the way, 4 o'clock game, so you're not even getting the full night game. I don't know if that really matters. And then Arizona State would be the next opponent. And the reason why I'm picking this part of the bracket, why I'm circling in on Clemson as my upset here, is because I remember went on a rant about how Oregon got so royally screwed by being the number one overall seed, yet having to face the winner of Tennessee, Ohio State. And so if this becomes Ohio State again, in a rematch, we all remember that was a 1-point game on the campus of Oregon. That's a coin flip, right? So I think that there's upset potential where either Tennessee or Ohio State could upset Oregon. So ipso facto, I would take Clemson beating Texas, then Clemson beating Arizona State, and then maybe Clemson doesn't get Oregon. Maybe they get Tennessee or Ohio State. That's a much more winnable game.
Wait, what?
I'm doing the top half of the bracket. How does this not make sense?
I thought we were just doing the first round upset. Yeah,
but this is why I'm picking Clemson, because I think it's more than just a first round upset. You upset Texas, then you get Arizona State, who, listen, Arizona State turned it on at the end of the year. They totally deserve to be here. It's nothing bad about the Sun Devils. I just think that Dabo Sweeney could come up with a game plan to beat that team.
Well, they might beat them because they're a better team. I don't know if Dabo Sweeney's going to do it. I'm not so high on him as an X's and O coach. I would take the Arizona State coach. That's interesting. Like, you're kind of looking big picture as Clemson. I mean, they are, like, they do have some momentum. I know the South Carolina game didn't end the way. They should have won that game, by the way. They had control of the game the entire time.
And South Carolina was one of the hottest teams in the country at that point.
So I actually think the interesting matchup in the first round is SMU-Penn State. Now, Penn State's an 8.5-point favorite. It's in Penn State. That gives me huge pause. If it's on a neutral field, then I'd be very confident. How do you stop Penn State? It's third down, and Penn State has the ball. Is there anyone on the planet who doesn't know where it's going? It's going to Ty Warren. So why aren't you putting four guys on him? They're like CeeDee Lamb and the Cowboys. They're such a one-player dependent team. I know they have a running attack too, but I think SMU's got a pretty good coaching staff. I really like Rhett Lashley. I got to know him a little bit because he was out lobbying for their spot, and he was on the show on ESPN all the time.
Yeah.
He seems to really know what he's doing. I know he's not a defensive guy, but I think SMU is a really interesting team, and I love Kevin Jennings. If they can get in a bit of a shootout with Penn State, I just don't think Penn State offense is very varied, and James Franklin's not a great big game coach. You know, he's terrible against top 10 teams. I don't know if SMU qualifies as a traditional Penn State loss, but I'm eyeing that game as a very interesting game. And then, you know, talking about the future, the winner of that goes on to play Boise. That'll be a really interesting game.
Right. And then you're on the same side of the bracket as Georgia, who would face the winner of Indiana and Notre Dame. I know there are Penn State people who are very upset that this was a noon game, right? They wanted the whiteout. They wanted the big, you know, massive, you know, that kind of atmosphere.
Whiteout's still going to happen, but it's going to be in afternoon.
Oh, it is still happening with the whiteout?
Yes, whiteout will still happen.
But it's in the day.
It's weird.
Manny, you're wearing a Penn State hoodie today. How do you feel? Confident?
Confident in what? That Penn State will win a big game with James Franklin as their head coach? Yeah. Absolutely not. I hope. I mean, I'm hoping that they'll win on Saturday, but after that, I don't have much to look for.
You think they would lose to Boise?
Oh, yeah.
At the Fiesta Bowl, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's James Franklin. And until that changes and until he shows me something, that's going to be it. Yeah. It's James Franklin.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a bad answer. Have we checked lately the hotel prices in Happy Valley? We did that with Paul Posluszny, who joined us last week, Penn State legend. It was like crazy. You're staying at the budget.
The budget
Inn. Yeah. 1500 it was $800. I think it was up to like $1,500 a night.
Because you got fall commencement that same weekend.
I know.
So it's just a madhouse.
Imagine staying anywhere with the name Budget in the title and you're shelling out a grand a night. It's not the Four Seasons, you know?
Have you guys noticed, by the way, I don't know if you looked at any predictions out there about who comes out of this side of the bracket, or everyone's high on Notre Dame. Like, Notre Dame. People are hammering Notre Dame because nobody trusts Georgia. Like,
I mean, this is not your typical Georgia. Yeah, you mentioned it.
And we were picking shaky. First round upset. I asked you in the break, how is Notre Dame only a 7-point favorite over Indiana? Because Indiana is the most, I would argue, the most unproven team in this. We just have not seen them beat a good team yet. I love the story. We all love the story. But it does feel like Notre Dame has a path on that side of the bracket because, again, James Franklin in a big game, Georgia's a mess. So, I mean, maybe they turn it on somehow, but who knows?
Well, I think it's what you're saying, right? Notre Dame, who do they play? You know, they were winning games, just killing fools at the end of the season. But the schedule got super light. They also lost to Northern Illinois earlier this season.
Yeah.
But I think that was a bit of a letdown after they won at Texas A&M to start off the year.
Beating Texas A&M, big deal.
Well, at the time, it did look like a big deal.
I'm curious when we're done with this whole thing. This, to me, is such an interesting first round test because a lot of these teams are here because they didn't play anybody. There's just no way to avoid that. Like, strength of schedule, having an easy schedule is the number one way to get to this 12-team playoff. And if these teams get killed who haven't beaten anybody, then I think the committee is going to have to consider a 3-loss Alabama next year.
855-212-4227. If you have an upset, let us know. Who's it going to be? I know we're on in South Bend. We're on in Harrisburg. We are on all over the great state of Indiana. We're on in Boise. We're on, of course, in Oregon. We love our friends in Oregon. We're on in Ohio.
Vancouver. Random.
Sure. Well, actually, I wonder who Vancouver's getting behind.
We're Vancouver, Oregon. Washington, or Vancouver?
We're on both.
Which is awesome.
But they have to be Oregon fans, right?
Actually, what Vancouver, or BC, I probably
Washington fans.
Oh, Washington fans, so then they would hate Oregon.
Yeah.
Who are neutral fans getting behind?
Notre Dame.
Yeah, but Notre Dame people love and also
No,
hate.
But a lot of people hate Notre Dame.
It's like Duke.
I think Alabama, I say losing Alabama in this bracket definitely is going to hurt the ratings. I mean, everybody knows Alabama. Yeah, I know Saban's not there, but yeah, if it ends up being like an Indiana SMU matchup in the Final Four, I think somebody at College Football is going to be like, hey, what just happened?
I'd love to know that. If you have zero rooting interest in this game, just as a fan, who are you getting behind? Texas? Like, who? I don't even know.
In an entire bracket, probably maybe Boise.
Boise's great to get behind.
Blue Turf, Ashton Janti. I mean, they have a history of being a Cinderella.
I think everyone likes Oregon, too. I mean, Oregon's a nice.
Cool uniforms,
yeah.
We all love Nike.
Yeah.
And also, the Heisman Trophy, that was closer than we thought. The odds were very heavily in Travis Hunter's favor, and he won. obviously he won, but the final tally was much, much closer than people expected. Genty made a really strong case.
I'm still not sure if we got that right. Give it to Hunter. I don't think there really was a real discussion about it. And I hate to say that, but I just feel like it was like, well, he plays two positions, so give it to him. I'm like, that's Janty was doing things running backs haven't done like decades.
Yeah.
Like, I guess maybe because of
the conference, maybe, but he said he thought he should have won, and I kind of feel like it was close, but I almost wonder if he should have gotten more looks.
I think it was just the uniqueness of Hunter. I mean, listen, Janty was fantastic. He was the best running back. And we've seen the best running backs before.
No. But way better than just a normal best running back.
Agreed.
No, but he was the best running back in college. Yeah. He was doing something unbelievable.
Right.
It's almost like, and now you're not sliding, but it almost feels like a slight to say, well, he was the best running back. It's like, he was Adrian Peterson.
Right.
You know,
once in 10 years running back.
He was like a legendary running back.
I know, but what's Travis Hunter? He's in 30 years guy who's played both ways to that level.
Right, absolutely. But Ashton Janty, if he plays poorly...
It's just unfair luck.
I get it. I just feel like if Ashton Janty plays poorly, Boise State gets blown out every game. If Travis Hunter doesn't play well, Colorado could have won games with Shador Sanders.
No,
like, he had another superstar player on his offense, on his team.
When you're up, you know, I think it's like... Travis Hunter's superpower is to be up by 37 points and get 9 targets to rack up more numbers because Deion Sanders is his coach. Like, that's rare to see, like, a college football player being pumped the ball in blowouts like that just so he can get the Heisman.
Yeah, but here's the thing. He also was massive in games that were really tight, like the Baylor game and others.
Oh, the Baylor game. Jeez Louise.
They won it on a Hail Mary. I mean... There were tight games where Travis Hunter was really important as well.
No, he's great, but I mean, come on, the Colorado thing, like, you could easily kind of call it a bit of an overhype situation. Like, Colorado, they get all the attention because of Deion, and then they were definitely feeding him the ball to get him numbers. There's no doubt about it. Like, and what was the game? I think it might have been Texas Tech or Utah, like something like, oh my God, they're just hammering Travis Hunter right now with passes.
And you think this is the only school who's ever done that?
Well, usually it's a quarterback for Heisman, so it doesn't usually come down to something like
that. Well, not always. It was running backs forever.
Yeah, but I don't think generally, like, feed a receiver the ball is not a thing to win the Heisman. I mean, Devontae Smith did win the Heisman, but generally receivers have no shot.
I mean, he also didn't have 7 picks on the season?
No, he's amazing.
Yeah.
But it does, like, I mean... There's just a lot going on in Colorado. Can we just admit that?
855-212-4227. CeeLo is here. He's in for Bogish today, and he's got updates for us. Busy day.
Yes, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life Electronic Device and Pet Health Insurance. Did have the NBA Cup Final last night in Las Vegas, which got away in the second half as Milwaukee went on a 17-2 run, and they end up beating the Thunder 97-81 behind a triple-double from Giannis, 26 points, 19 rebounds, 10 assists. Damian Lillard, 23 points. That led to head coach Doc Rivers summing up the accomplishment for his team in the postgame.
Yeah, I just think it reminds us that we can beat anybody. And we don't care if it tells everybody else that. Like, we only care about us.
But then again, in the same breath, he said this.
It's what I said in the first day of camp. Also said we can lose anybody if we don't play right? And I thought we learned that lesson early.
Yeah, with their 2-8 start. So you get both sides of it there. Playing well now, though, aren't they?
Yeah, listen, Doc did the ultimate spin doctor move last night. I thought he was down. I thought the spin doctor maybe was taking a little sabbatical. Turns out he's right there, right when we needed him. Because they had champagne. Were you about to get to this part of the story?
Go right ahead.
They had all the champagne for the winner of the NBA Cup, and the Bucks decided to leave it untouched.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the real champagne. Meanwhile, in baseball... You clinch like the second wild card and you party like it's 1999, but that's fine. It's a different sport, different customs.
Yeah, I mean, listen,
it wasn't always like that, and that's a recent phenomenon in baseball. I mean, obviously there wasn't a second wild card forever, but we clinched the playoff berth. Oh, and now we clinched the specific seed, and now we won this round, and all these champagne celebrations with the ski goggles on.
It turns out everyone just has a massive drinking problem.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I think, honestly, when they invented this NBA Cup, they were just praying and hoping that we get to see a game where Brooke Lopez hits a bunch of threes and Lou Dort is cold.
Right. Oh, come on.
Okay, so
come on. I tried to turn this game on. It was just as boring as any other NBA regular season game. What? I'm not even doing this.
Wait.
Giannis was awesome last night.
Giannis was great last night. It was a game in the first half, and then it wasn't in the second half because the OKC couldn't hit the ocean. Here's the thing. that I had an issue with, and I have no dog in this fight. You guys all get on, pick your sides about you love this thing, you hate this thing. I found it weird. The crowd was like blacked out. So it's such a neutral field court in Las Vegas. You lost one of the great things that basketball has, which is the home crowd. Like a Celtics game, people are going crazy. The Garden. I mean, there's no place like it when things are nuts. Sacramento, like all these great home court advantages. And instead, it looked like a theater almost in the way that you couldn't even see anyone in the crowd. It was all dark.
Well, that's kind of the thing they like to do with these arenas with the theater appeal. But this was a little more intense.
It looked like a mausoleum in there.
Yeah, I didn't mind that as much.
There was no crowd.
The crowd was there.
They were there, but I couldn't see them.
Yeah, I mean, they do this with All-Star Game. They do this, you know, again, the Staples Center is actually pretty aggressive with the lighting in terms of making it feel like a theater. That's kind of just, that's a basketball thing. I mean, that's either you love it or you hate it thing.
I thought this was...
Barclays Center does it, too. You can barely see the crowd at Barclays.
Barclays Center is one of the worst places to see a game.
Yeah, I mean, Miami's
partly because of that.
I think Miami started doing it this year. It's a thing where they think this looks good on TV. I don't know.
Obviously, we love the Nets as corporate partners. Man, I love all that back. I love going to Barclays. I've been there. I used to live next to Barclays Center. It was delightful.
So if you could see the crowd, that would have made that game more important to you, Maggie?
I just thought it would have felt like it had a little more atmosphere.
Who cares? This whole thing is idiotic. The NBA is taking all these wild swings because ratings are down, I guess. It's just all stupid. Like, focus on the title. Like, that's what should matter. It should be a desperate scrape and claw to win the NBA title, ridiculous midseason title.
Doc Rivers didn't pop any champagne, so you'll be happy to know about that. He didn't. I don't know even know if they're going to raise the banner. But the thing is like, the also ultimate irony of not having any crowd, no crowd noise, nothing, is you're in Las Vegas. This is party capital of the country or the world. I've walked by penny slot machines that had more action, it felt like, than what was going on in the crowd.
At McCarran
Airport. That arena, I think, is also not...
Right when you get off the plane.
That arena also needs some more character. Terminal. That's a problem, too. Like, Allegiant Stadium is way more fun than wherever they were playing yesterday.
Yeah, who knows?
T-Mobile? I don't know where they were playing yesterday.
Was it at T-Mobile?
But it's great for boxing matches. It's awesome. That part of it bothered me. But anyway, CeeLo.
Do you guys think it got more? I know it was on ABC. Do you think it got more than 2 million viewers? Like, I'll bet you, like, an average Caitlin Clark game triples this rating. I'll bet you it did regular season numbers.
It was also the Bucks and OKC. So you got two smaller market teams. Does that matter?
Yeah, it definitely does.
If it had been the, you know, Celtics Lakers, if it had been a traditional rivalry,
if it got 1.5 million viewers, can we just call this a failure? I mean, I think by all,
why?
Thunder, Bucks, whatever, like it didn't work.
I mean, last year's Pacers Lakers game got 4.5.
Yeah, LeBron was in that. I'm saying game.
Right, but I mean, why would the tournament be a failure? Because 1 year it didn't do as well.
Yeah, you need more data. You can't write it off yet.
Last year, you were saying, 4 million is not a big deal. Now you're saying, well, if they do 1 million, then it's a failure. It's like, you can't move the goalpost.
I don't know. I mean, are you really trying to, like, I know this becomes an issue, but, like, obviously the NBA product is not as popular during the regular season now. It's like, it's become college basketball, where it's just to get this endless campaign of garbage through so we get to the playoffs. Like, that is what the NBA is right now.
Right, but I don't think this is an effort to try to make it more enticing. Yeah. I think that's the
But it's a faux effort. Like,
they realize there's a flaw and then they are trying to correct
it. I mean, I think it all started with load management. The second, like, the team said, we don't care about the regular season, like, the fans followed suit. You're right, it is an effort to do that, but it feels artificial to me.
They need to put stakes on it. I keep saying that. That's the last
thing. Bigger stakes besides just money.
Okay.
I think you should be guaranteed a home playoff series if you win the conference.
It's like Dame Lillard got $500,000 last night. It's like he's making like $35 million a year. Yeah,
exactly.
But he did say he was going to give it to all the stadium workers and people. Yeah. So that's a nice Christmas for them. CeeLo, back to you.
All right. NFL-wise, quarterback changes. We already discussed the Kirk Cousins benching for Michael Penix Jr. with the Falcons. Will Levis is reportedly headed to the bench for the Titans. So you're looking at Mason Rudolph is the likely starter Sunday against the Colts, and the Browns are set to start Dorian Thompson-Robinson Sunday against the Bengals. So the Lord may have delivered Jameis Winston from the pick sixes this past weekend, but not from the interceptions, as he did have three more. His third three-interception performance since November 3rd. He threw 12 of them in a span of six games. So we love Jameis.
Prepare for battle.
The quotes are great. The performance on the field, not as much.
Well, to be fair,
victory comes from the Lord.
That should not have been a three interception game. That should have been a seven interception game.
Okay, I was like,
it was just a little wet outside.
Ball got tipped,
he kept hitting Chiefs right in the numbers. I couldn't believe, like, he was going full Jameis.
Yeah, he just chucks them up for grabs. And sometimes it leads to, you know, 400 yards and four touchdowns, but multiple turnovers as well.
So. Do you remember when he threw it straight to that lineman a couple weeks ago? Or maybe that was last week.
I've lost. There's too many interceptions to keep track of.
It is insane, like, how that guy can go out there and throw for 450 yards one day and then just be so bad the next.
Kudos to me.
I think it's way better for him to be this guy than be Daniel Jones, though.
Oh, like,
for his
100%.
Character, for his future. Like, him being this, I can throw for 400 yards, I throw five interceptions, is way better than being, I'm Daniel Jones, I throw for 180. My team loses 13-10.
Maybe not if you're the coach or the coordinator, but for the viewer, absolutely.
For the viewer, yeah. I think for his future career. Like, I think, like, just being this, like, folk weirdo, like, kind of guy,
there's like, no
one I think
like
this works for him.
Remember, we did a whole great debate on the biggest sports enigmas off of him.
Exactly.
And we had trouble coming up with other ones because he's so one of one.
Yeah, Daniel Jones is Mitchell Trubisky. They're the same exact person, right?
Exactly.
Like, he's going to float around as a backup.
Yeah, and nobody's going to care about him. Like, we're always going to care about Jameis. I know him being a Heisman kind of also has something to do with that, but.
Yeah, he was number one pick. A little different, but yeah.
God, Trubisky was two.
Yeah, Trubisky was a high pick.
The amount of coverage there was about where Daniel Jones was going to end up. Has anyone thought about him for a second since he signed with the Vikings practice squad?
No, to be honest, we weren't thinking about him much when we were talking about where he was going to go. We didn't really care.
Well, yeah, that's true. I'm thinking more from the local. But I mean, when he decided it was a national, like, maybe it wasn't talked about a lot, but there were notifications, there were stories, there were headlines.
Oh, his agents did a great job.
Yeah, I suppose that's one way to look at it.
Give those guys a raise.
Yeah. Chiefs coming up this weekend, the Saturday game. Patrick Mahomes, somehow a full participant in practice on Tuesday. So he might play. If not, they're obviously confident that Carson Wentz can step in and do the job as the Chiefs are in good shape, AFC standings-wise. College football last night, Memphis capped an 11-2 season with a 42-37 win over West Virginia in the Frisco Bowl. You've got Mike Vick confirming on social media that he is taking the head coaching job at Norfolk State, which is just about 20 miles from his hometown of Newport News in Virginia, so he's excited. He's, quote, looking forward to coming back home. So spurned Sacramento State, which was the other team that was in talks with him. So
by the way, that's an incredible life journey that Michael Vick is coaching a college team. If I told you that in 2008 or whatever year the dogfighting scandal was, you would have looked at me like I was crazy. I'd be like,
molding young men and like being a mentor and being like raised up to be coach and a pillar. Credit to Michael Vick. He's lived his apology more than any person. Yeah.
If I told you in 2008 that there's a chance that Michael Vick could be coaching against Bill Belichick.
In a non-conference.
In a non-conference matchup.
That is pretty wild. And lastly, baseball-wise, did have a rather notable trade with the Yankees acquiring Cody Bellinger from the Cubs. I'm amazed by the lack of package they had to send back to Chicago. 30-year-old journeyman Cody Poteet, and the Cubs are kicking in $5 million to cover some of his salary. So, I mean, I know last year wasn't as good as 2023 was for him, and he's got, you know, decent chunk of money left for a couple of years and an option at some point, but that's a nice move for the Yankees is he can play center field. They kick Judge back over to right field.
Definitely something you don't want to hear as a man. Amazed by the lack of package. That's not good.
I will admit, Perloff, as those words came out of my mouth, I was like, there's probably a better way to phrase this, but this is what I'm going with.
Yeah, it's usually more of a conversation that women would have. Amazed.
Yeah.
Speaking of women and packages, you see the whole ex-wife issue going on with the Yankees?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see this.
Cody Bellinger's wife is Giancarlo Stanton's ex.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, she's a former swimsuit model. I've interviewed this woman before.
Yes. Yeah.
Her name is she's got a weird Instagram handle that I remember. What was her name? She was
if I had a body part anyone wanted to see. So is this a bad thing for the team chemistry?
Chase Carter.
Is this gonna blow up the locker room?
Here's if I may.
Yeah.
Having watched Stanton operate as a Yankee, I don't think he'll give a damn. So if Cody Bellinger they're married with kids now, I can't imagine that it's going to be an issue.
I can't wait to see Cody Bellinger strike out, home run.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
I mean, nothing seems to bother Giancarlo Stanton.
I also think that, and I'm not just leaning into the stereotype here, I do remember when they were dating because she was showing up to the Yankee games. I do think it might have been a situation where maybe Stanton moved on. So, to be fair, she kind of rebounded with another MVP, so I think everyone's kind of doing okay.
Yeah, and he's, you know, still living the single life in New York. He's dated various women. So, I mean, hey, he's living his life. Cody's married with two kids to this Chase Carter Bellinger now. And now they're playing for the same team.
I don't think this is going to be like a Fritz Peterson, Mike Kekich situation in the 70s when they switch families.
Right.
I don't think so.
Stanton would have to have a wife in order to do that.
Yeah, I'm sure he could grab somebody.
Right.
Yeah, they'd be lining up.
Pick one out. We'll work out.
He's dated multiple, not this is a shock. Stan's dated multiple SI swimsuit models.
Yeah. So he's.
I mean, the dude is built like a Greek god.
Right.
I know. He was in the swimsuit issue.
He's shocker. Going the Jeter route minus the on-field success.
Championships.
Yeah. Then again, he's actually played pretty well in the postseason. The rest of his teammates, not as much.
Being able to run from second to home.
Yeah, that part is different.
It's a challenge.
I would agree.
Yeah. Everyone says that. CeeLo, thank you so much. Coming up, Dan Campbell said this loss was a good thing for the Lions. Do we believe him?
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll do that next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. All right, we saw yesterday Dan Campbell, Detroit radio, dropping F-bombs about how the team kind of got a little fat and happy after winning 11 in a row. They weren't hungry anymore. Dining out on filet, he said, when moldy bread would have done the same trick. Here's a little of Dan Campbell from yesterday, fired up.
You know, what happens is you get used to eating filet, and I'm talking to all of us, and well, everything's good. Life's good, you know, but you forgot what it was like when you had nothing and you ate your molded bread, you know, and it was just fine, and it gave you everything you needed. And sometimes you got to get punched in the mouth and remember what it used to be like to really appreciate where you are. And we'll do that.
Right. So Dan Campbell, I mean, I don't know who's ever cool with molded bread, but another Dan Campbellism for the history books here, bite the kneecaps and now eating moldy bread. He's basically saying this is a good loss. This is going to wake them up to lose to Buffalo. Do you believe
him? On the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
Well, I get it because I thought they looked flat to come out against Buffalo, which is shocking. I'm a good loss guy. I do believe like a loss can galvanize a team. Now, listen, they played the Bears. We saw the Bears last week. They can't beat anybody in the NFL right now. They're terrible. So I think this narrative that he's creating that we're going to bounce back makes a lot of sense. And, like, I think that's exactly what Dan Campbell should say. And believe it or not, yeah, I think it was a good loss because they still have an angle to get out of this thing unscathed in the NFC, be the number one seed, as long as they sort of just all come together. Because they can, even with the injuries, they can beat Chicago. They definitely can beat San Francisco. Then that big showdown against Minnesota, I don't even think that you believe in Minnesota. So these are wins, even with all the injuries, even with Ailey McNeil being out, you can win all these games. I kind of think this is very consistent with Dan Campbell. It's exactly what he should do.
I don't know if the good loss at this time of the year, I don't know if I buy into it when I saw David Montgomery leave the game and maybe has a torn ACL. I know he was being a little cagey yeah. about whether he was going to go on IR yesterday, but I think a wake-up call at the beginning of the year is always a good one.
The Bill Belichick.
Yes.
Belichick would always throw week four.
Right, and then all of a sudden we need to get punched in the mouth here to get serious. I didn't look at the Lions as a team that seemed like they were resting on their laurels. Now, he knows the team better than I do. I thought this, how could you not be hungry when you're a member of the Detroit Lions?
Well, you
don't
be...
have all these Super Bowl banners hanging up all around you. You should be hungrier than anybody. The team's been a laughingstock for the better part of the franchise.
These are young men on the team. They have no idea about the I'll bet you a lot of the Lions players have been reading their headlines. I mean, it's hard not to. I'll do it about myself. No, I'm just kidding. But I think a lot of Lions players probably were eating filet and they forgot about moldy bread. They don't know about it. I mean, do you think Jameson Williams knows about Wayne Fonts? I mean, come on. They have known nothing about the history of the Lions. I'm just saying, I'll bet you a lot of them were in there, you know, feeling pretty big-headed.
I think Jameson Williams was probably betting on Wayne Fonts and probably lost a lot of money on Wayne Fonts. No, I'm just kidding.
He's definitely not alive when Wayne Fonts was the coach of the Lions.
So I just, listen, this is Campbell's thing, right? Grit. Yep. And yeah, maybe they lost their way for a minute and this will spurn them on to greater heights. But I just think that the injuries are the thing here. They looked a little flat against Buffalo. To be honest, though, Buffalo also came out like a house on fire. And Buffalo's a really good team. So I think this has more to do with the injuries than the want to, than the want it. This is a nice excuse, I think, that Dan Campbell's trying to make for his team to point to something. Hey, you got fat and happy. Does Amon-Ra St. Brown, the guy who remembers every single wide receiver who was taken before him in the draft, this looks like somebody who is getting fat and happy?
Yeah, but did you see a different Lions team after the first quarter? That was a scrappy, hungry, like the desperation you saw for the last part of that game. Give me that. They were going fast, Maggie. I thought that was fascinating. Like, they can make up for all these defensive injuries if they score 45 points a game. It's analytics.
I don't know. I don't, because, you know, you probably should have had these, you know, the momentum should have tilted back in your favor if you're the Lions.
Yeah.
If Aleem McNeil doesn't get hurt. Because I think if you could have stopped the run, if you could have, you know, at least put up a little bit more resistance against Buffalo, maybe you actually wrestle the momentum back away from them. And they couldn't because they didn't have the bodies, not because they didn't have the game plan, not because they didn't have the want to. They didn't have the dudes.
I don't know. I'm not so sure that they're that shorthanded and that desperate. I mean, there was a play at the end of the half where Amon-Ra St. Brown got his hands on a ball. That they didn't score at the end of the first half. They could have gone into halftime tied, and then they could have like sort of established a run and taken control of the game. They just never quite got there.
855-212-4227. Will this be an air quotes good loss for the Detroit Lions? Let us know what you think. We have so much more to do, including it's Wednesday, which means the great debate. MMP, don't move.
I swear to God, I'm not a lunatic.